Father, we come today fully aware that you have called us according to your own purposes in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that your purposes are good. We know that your purposes are higher than anything that we would have any notion of here in this earthly realm. And we thank you that it says that you have called us according to your purpose, and that you make all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So you did not call us for our purposes. You called us for your purposes. And you did not just call us directly to yourself, just straight to you. You called us in and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we come fully aware that it is through no credit of our own that we have this relationship with you, and also aware of the fact that in the end it will only be your purposes that will stand. And therefore we pray today that you will make us more sensitive than ever before to your purposes in every area of our walk, in every area of our life, and even in the life of your church. We pray now that you will take your word and use it in our hearts, Lord, to instruct us and to also lead us into a deeper walk with you. We ask these things humbly through our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. In his holy name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. If you are among those who like to follow along, take the notes, fill in the blanks, have something to take with you, now would be the time to do that. Some years ago, I think a lot of you probably remember, there was a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and it became one of the biggest bestsellers in all of history. It's still around. Rick Warren and also the Purpose-Driven Church. It was all about purpose. They built their program and everything around purpose. What is God's purpose? And God's purposes are very, very important. And we want to talk about that a little bit today. We have three scriptures here on the note sheet. Job 43:2. I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. And then in Isaiah 46:10, the Lord is being quoted. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. And then when we get to Romans 8:28, most of us know this verse. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. And so God has a purpose for everything, and we are a part of that purpose. But we are only a part of that purpose through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so those are the things we want to dwell on today. And today is kind of what I call kind of just a reminder message. But let's go to point number one. God's purposes are rooted in his own nature and character. Now, I talk a lot about the nature and character of God, but we cannot overemphasize the importance of this, because since he is the origin of everything, and he is the end of everything, and everything exists through and by him, therefore, it is really important to understand that everything that God does, past, present, future, everything that he does is rooted in his own nature and rooted in his own character. And it says in one place, for of him and through him and to him are all things. Everything begins with him, everything subsists now through him, and everything will ultimately return to him. But all of his purposes, past, present, and future, they are rooted in his own nature and character. Therefore, they are always righteous and just. because God is righteous and just, and for the ultimate good. One of the questions that you get asked a lot is, well, if God is so good, why does he allow so much suffering in the world? And it seems like right now, any day that we sign onto the computer to look at a little news or open the newspaper or watch the TV or however it is that you get your news, you know, it's just like it just gets worse and worse and worse. Whole nations are falling apart at the seams. Hundreds of the deaths now in many of these conflicts don't number in the tens of thousands. They number in the hundreds of thousands. And even the violence level right here in our own country just seems to be getting worse day after day after day. And you hear about the human trafficking, and you hear about so much that is going on. And God obviously allows it all. And if we knew everything all about it and could give all the answers, then I suppose we would be as wise as God himself. And that is never going to happen. But we do know that God is righteous. We do know that he allows evil. He allows it. He's not the author of it. He never has been the author of it. He can have no part of it. He cannot even countenance it or look at it. But he does allow it, because he gives people choice, and people in their fallen state are able to make these choices, and he allows it. But all of God's purposes are ultimately for good, and that is the thing that we have to understand. And even as we, even Christians sometimes, well, Lord, I mean, you know, all this suffering I'm going through, all this suffering my family's going through, and you know, my dad or my child or my mom or whoever it may be, you know, they've never really done anything wrong, and yet how much they're suffering, and these questions occur to us. But I can assure you today from the Word of God that God's purposes, this evil is not part of his purpose, but he does allow it. And even in the midst of it, and even in spite of it, he is still working his purposes. And so we can choose to be part of what's going along, or we can choose to be part of his purpose and of what it is that he is seeking to do. But his purposes are always righteous, they are always just, and they are always for the ultimate good. Number two, God's ultimate purposes are eternal. There are temporal purposes, there are temporary purposes, and there are eternal purposes. God has always had a master plan. Sometimes we talk, even in the corporate world, what are your long-term goals? You know, not just what's happening today, but 5 years, 10 years, what are your long-term goals? God has had a long-term goal all along, and in spite of all the wickedness and in spite of all the, you could call them setbacks like the flood and things like that, in spite of all those things, God has steadily been working toward his purpose. But his ultimate purposes are eternal, and they will last forever. Now, you say, what is it? You know, there are temporal purposes and there are eternal purposes. For example, I thought of Jonah. Jonah had finally gotten to Nineveh, kind of against his own will, and he had faithfully proclaimed a message, and contrary to his desire, they actually heard the message and repented. Can you imagine a preacher preaching God's message of salvation and hoping that nobody would believe so they would all be damned? And that is Jonah. And Jonah is so headstrong in this that afterwards he goes up on the hill to wait and see if God will bring the judgment or not, because the message was that it's coming in 40 days. And so it gets mighty hot up there. There aren't any trees around there. There aren't any shrubs. And poor old Jonah, I think he was bald-headed. And I tell you what, that son was just really taking a toll on him, and it says that the Lord prepared a gourd, and it brought him a little shade, and he was, oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. That was a temporary purpose, that gourd. And that temporary purpose was to teach Jonah a lesson, because the Lord then prepared a worm. That's what the Bible says. Prepared a worm to cut the root of the gourd, and it shriveled to nothing. And now Jonah's complaining again. And the Lord says, you're so upset because of a little gourd that withered and died. Why aren't you upset about all of these people out here? These are people we're talking about. And you should be glad that they repented and turned to me. But anyway, there are short-term purposes, there are long-term purposes. But as believers, whatever the short-term stuff is, one lesson of the scripture is that we need to always keep God's ultimate purpose in mind and realize what the ultimate purpose is. Even we, within our own little tiny framework, we might have what is a temporary purpose, but at the moment, it's the ultimate purpose. Maybe my ultimate purpose is in 4 years to have a bachelor's degree. So now I eat and I sleep and I get up and I stay up late studying and I miss some meals and I drink some energy drinks and I do some things, and today's goals are these, and I've got to get this lesson studied and I've got to do this exam and all of those. But the longer term purpose is what? The degree. So let's go to number three here. God's short-term purposes are tied to his bigger purposes. And God does have shorter-term purposes. In fact, every single one of us is part of that short-term purpose. Nelson Hodges Sr. went to be with the Lord, I believe it was a week ago today. He lived to be in his, 89 years of age. And we recounted many of the events and the things that the Lord did in his life. His earthly purpose is now done. And he is now in the Lord's presence. Every single one of us have a lifespan. And that lifespan is apt to be less than 100 years. It might reach 100. It might go over by a little bit. But we are part of God's overall purpose, but we are a temporary purpose. In a sense, even the apostles, they did their ministry in their day, and then they passed on, and others took the baton. And we're getting ready to have a homecoming here in a week, and we're going to talk about the past and the present and the future. But God, each of us, he has a purpose for us. Our life has a purpose, and yes, it is important that we know and discover as much as we can from him, waiting on him, seeking him, and following his leading, what his purpose is. God has a purpose for Brian and Brooke right now, and it is that they be in the Philippines and to help the new missionaries that arrive to get acclimated, to learn the language, to have everything that they need to do their work. What is their work? To ultimately, to learn the culture, to build relationships, to ultimately evangelize those people. Right, Brian? And then so that what? So that then in God's ultimate purpose, some of us are going to be reunited with them forever and ever in heaven, like we read about in Revelation. Isn't that a wonderful thing? So today's what we might call temporary purposes, every single one of them, is tied into God's bigger overall purpose. But our temporary life here and now needs to be lived in the light of that eternal purpose that he has. Number four, God's ultimate purposes cannot be thwarted or defeated. This is a tremendous comfort to me, because how many have heard the term God is sovereign? Have you heard that? Do you believe it? His final will, his ultimate will prevail. The devil can throw everything at it that he wants to. And he can score some short-term victories if you want to look at it that way. But one thing that the enemy cannot do is thwart God's ultimate purpose. His purposes will stand, and he says so himself. And that, to me, especially being in the Lord's work, that is a wonderful comfort and a wonderful thing to know. Number five, God's ultimate purposes for earth and therefore for us are to be found in Christ. Remember that. No purpose of God that's actually his purpose is outside of Christ. Every single purpose that God has, future, present, past, for earth, related to earth, is in Christ. Christ is the Redeemer. Christ is the Reconciler. Christ is the way that we were reconciled to God. Christ is the reason that in spite of the fall, and in spite of sin, and in spite of rebellion, and in spite of all those things, God is still going to be able to carry out his ultimate purpose. And if there were no Christ, listen to me when I tell you, if there were no Christ, if there were no Redeemer, God would have already taken this whole earth, watered it up, and put it in the trash can. The only reason there's even an earth still here is because God knew there was going to be a Redeemer that was going to come and enable his purposes to move forward. Otherwise, it's all pointless. After man sinned, God had a couple choices. He could either just destroy it all and start over, or he could incorporate redemption through Christ, and he chose the latter. Aren't you glad he chose the latter? But make no mistake, if there were no Jesus Christ, there would be no planet. God would have already just, well, when the flood, whatever, he would have just let it be. But, hey, God chose to send his son. God chose a way of redemption. But every purpose of God is through Christ. Number six. Whatever is not rooted in Christ will ultimately fade away. How many have ever heard that little old phrase? My mom used to have it on a little plaque hanging in our little, in those days we called them house trailers. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. How true. Anything that is not tied to God's ultimate purpose and everything that is not rooted in Christ will ultimately pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. But my words, Jesus said, will never pass away. Why? Because his word is his purpose. And everything that is of his purpose will ultimately stand, and all the rest of it will be gone. We can spend a lot of time, and we can spend a lot of energy, and we can be successful by the measures of this world. We can have 4 years of college, 8 years of college, a nice home, kids, a Corvette, would that work? In the driveway, a Lexus, a Mercedes SUV, whatever, in the driveway. We can have a thriving business and all of that. And we can be involved in civics, and we can be involved in sports, and we can have our name as a headline now and then in the local paper, and we can do all of that. And if we don't know Christ, what is going to happen to all of that? It's all going to go away. It's going to be like it was never there. You all know that I talk about this a lot, but it's true. Whole nations build armies, expend billions of dollars, recruit hundreds of thousands of men, and do all of this. It's all going to be gone. There isn't going to be any trace of it. Today, we're concerned about the rising power of Red China and the resurgence of Russia and all of that. Those are legitimate concerns for today. But when it's all over, you're not going to be hearing about them. They're all going to be gone because they're not part of God's purpose. Not at that level. Not that part. Only so his real purpose can go on within all that chaos and mess. And many times opposition. Christians are still persecuted daily in many parts of the world. But everything that isn't... My sermon today, really, they're not detailed that way, but it just has two points. Everything that isn't of God's purpose is going to go away. And number two, any purpose God has is only through Christ. I found myself, that's probably what gave birth to this message, an issue that I've had before the Lord for probably 2 or 3 years. And I've prayed what I know. And that's what any of us can do, right? As we know something, as we understand it, and in line with what we know of God's word and wanting what is best, I've prayed all the prayers. And then I find myself going back to square one and asking, and saying, Lord, now, I've been praying all this time along these lines. But what is your purpose? And is there some other purpose here besides what I've seen? And why would I do that? Because even though I pray to the best of my ability and within whatever I know with a sincere heart before the Lord, if whatever I'm praying isn't really connected to His purpose, and if His purpose happens to be something that maybe is a little different than what I've thought of, then wouldn't I want to be praying in line with His purpose? Because after all, His will is tied to His purpose. And His plan, whatever that is in anything, is tied to His purpose. And if I belong to Him, we're reading that part in 1 Peter 2 today, that we actually belong to Him. He owns us. He owns me. He owns me. I'm part of His purpose, but the reason is He owns me. He bought me by the blood of Christ. And He cleansed me and He called me. For what? For His purpose. Not for mine. Not for those of South Norfolk Congregational Christian Church. It's been a joy serving here. And that, I believe, has been part of His purpose. But it's His purpose. Do you follow me? It's not my purpose. And it's not even SNCCC's purpose. It's His purpose. So as we go through life and through different things, it never hurts. We can be caught up at church work and all the rest. To the best of our knowledge, doing what we know to do and doing the best thing. But it's never wrong to stop and say, Lord, bring me up to date on your purpose. Show me your purpose, because that is where the blessing is. And that's where the enduring stuff is. Shall we pray? Father, we don't always know all of your purposes. We know your big purpose, as we read it in the book of Revelation, and as it is alluded to some in some of the New Testament there. But we don't always know just what your purpose is. Even in matters in our own lives, we don't always know the full extent of what your purpose is on a certain, on a given day, time, month, year, whatever, a certain situation, what your purpose may be there, both short and long term. So Lord, I just pray today, as your people, make us aware, make us sensitive to your purposes, and do unfold your purposes to us. We don't have to know everything you're doing, but we sure would like to know, at least in the short term, what some of your purposes are in an area, if it's going to help us, Lord, to be more effective for you, and if it's going to help whatever you've called us to count more for eternity, then of course we would want to know your purpose. And it is your purpose that you're dedicated to, and you have simply given us the privilege of being included in that and coming alongside of that. So, but it's your purpose. So, Lord, today as we come, let us never think we know it all, and help us to always be ready, Lord, for a new, for lack of a better term, a new revelation or a further revelation of your purpose with regards to anything. Because the things that we sometimes think are very small and unimportant actually are very, very important in ways that we could never understand. And some of the things that we think are just absolute have-tos maybe don't even figure that big on your calendar. So, Lord, teach us concerning your purposes, and that we would know that every purpose of yours really is, in some way, it is routed through the Lord Jesus Christ. Help whatever we do to be done in and through and by the empowering work of our Savior. Now, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you that you do have a purpose. And we do thank you, you've made us a part of it. And we do thank you that your purpose will stand. Now, Lord, just lead us, Lord, into a greater understanding of your will and purpose. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.